Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. This morning, we will be doing something that for a long, long time now, we've been doing once a month, always on a Monday, and that is give you the opportunity to call in and ask questions about home maintenance. Can be just about anything that goes into the single family home. Maybe it has something to do with your insulation or your attic or your roof or windows or basements or furnaces or, well, I'll stop there. You get the idea. It's the opportunity to call in if something needs to be repaired. You're not quite sure how to approach the project. You can do that. Maybe you're thinking about making some changes. You're thinking about doing some remodeling. And any and all of that is certainly fine. Joining us this morning and actually joining us by telephone is Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. We are expecting Scott Spies to be here with us in the studio this morning, and unfortunately, he could not be with us, but Hank has ably and bravely stepped up here to do the program that he did with us for such a long time. And we'd like to have him here on the studio, but this is just as well, and we can take questions just as we usually do. So if you would like to talk with Hank, all you have to do is call us here in Champaign-Urbana. The number is 333-9455. We do also have that toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you have questions, you can give us a call. Well, Hank, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty well.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you could be with us. Well, we don't have anybody right on the line at the moment, and I guess I was thinking that since here in our area last week, we had some of the coldest temperatures that we've had in years. That's about as cold as it's ever going to get, that we can take some comfort for that. And I'm wondering whether it's possible that some people might have been dealing with frozen pipe issues. And I wondered if you could just talk a little bit generally about maybe first of all, if you have that problem, what do you do about it just in terms of dealing with the immediate problem?
Well, you get the water turned off till you can get the plumber there to fix it or somebody to dig it up. I haven't received any calls about the lines between the street and the house freezing up, but I was halfway expecting some.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, there's not an awful lot you can do. You can leave a faucet running a little bit so that you can get water flow through the pipes and keep it warmer, but we don't want to waste any water either. So, as they say, it's a problem. If you have a frozen pipe, about the only thing you can do is turn water off to it and get a plumber as soon as you can.
So that's not, you don't think that that's something that, I guess the question would be just because you get a frozen spot and you get a blockage, does that necessarily mean that the pipe is going to be broken? Is it possible that when that frozen bit thaws out that, well, it could be okay?
Certainly. It is not necessarily broken, but you need to check. And sometimes we have pipes that are not readily visible. You might take a look at your water meter when you think everything is off and make sure that there's no water flow through it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming now that the issue here is that we've got pipes that run through walls, and there are spots that cold air is getting to, and if it gets cold enough and enough cold air gets to the pipe, then you're going to get a spot where the ice is going to freeze.
Yes, I'm more concerned about the fact that we may have something near an outdoor faucet on a crawl space or something of that sort,
mm-hmm.
rather than in the walls.
Mm. And that's I don't know if this is something that most people regularly do, but certainly the recommendation is that if you have, and most people probably do have outdoor faucets, they connect the hose that they use to do their watering outside, have outdoor faucets that when well before it gets this cold outside, that the water supply to that faucet should be turned off.
Yes, and it's surprising how often we have so-called freeze-proof faucets. And if people have not disconnected the hose from them, then
mm-hmm.
they will freeze and crack on the supply side. Or if you leave the hose hooked on, the hose will probably split.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I would. Or your connections are going to crack or something. You know, something.
Right.
It's not going to take the strain.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, we have a couple of callers here ready to go, and they're both in Champaign. So let's start in. We'll start with caller here, line number one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
I am currently remodeling an old barn into a business, and it's sided with car siding, you know, wooden car siding. and it's painted and caulked very well now, but I'm assuming at some point it will leak again. Very old. And I'm wondering about what kind of insulation. I'm planning on using the batting, fiberglass batting, but attaching it to the studs so as it doesn't touch the car siding, and then putting the foam with the foil backing over that to the inside. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes.
There's no way to put a vapor barrier on the outside, you know.
No, we don't want a vapor barrier on the outside. We want the vapor barrier on the warm side.
Yes.
So, yes, you can, if that sounds like you're doing it the right way.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so because I'm assuming moisture, if it gets in, will then still be able to get out.
To an extent, yeah. It depends on the paint job and so on. But if you have a space between the insulation and the siding, that can be vented to the outside.
Wonderful. And do you think I need to then over the foam or under the foam with the foil? Do you think I need a vapor barrier? Because isn't the foil going to be that?
That's built in.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
And that should go on the warm side on the inside.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, very good. Well, we'll go on here to another caller. This is also someone in Champaign. This is line number two. Hello. The caller there, line two in Champaign. Okay, well, maybe not. I think we're getting another caller lined up here. Let me again just, I'll give you the telephone number, 333-9455, the number here in Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere you can hear us, and that's 800-222-9455. This morning, Hank Spies is with us from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's our monthly home maintenance show. We do have another caller here in Belgium on our line four, toll-free line right here. Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Spies and Mr. Inge, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not sure you can answer, but maybe you can give me some opinions on it. I rarely call you this about on this show because, well, I'm pretty handy at building and stuff myself. And a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to go from forced air heat in my house to hot water heat because I thought it was more efficient and everything else like that. So I had a contractor put it in, license and everything else like that. And the first year or so, I had a couple of problems with it, but I was able to solve it. But this year, it got a lot colder, and it just doesn't keep up with the heating. And I approached this guy a couple times, and he hem-hawed around and said, "Oh, you need to do this, you need to do that." And so I did those things, and nothing solved the problem. So I called an individual I know who happens to be a professional engineer, licensed here in the state of Illinois, and he comes in and looks at it, and he says, "Oh, well, this is wrong with the way he's done it, and this is wrong with the way he's done it. That over there is wrong with what he's done it, and see, many things it's been very shortcoming." The question I have for you, sir, is how should I approach this? I mean, I could run and get an attorney all right now, and, you know, being in the trades myself, I don't like to be sued, but how does one handle a problem like this?
Well, you go back to the installer and tell him what you found and what your professional opinion was, and ask him about whether he's going to fix it, or else you also always have the alternative of suing him.
Yes. And how long does something like that have to go? I mean, it's been a couple of years since he originally installed it. Now, he would say, "Oh, wait a minute, this has been 2 or 3 years later." But yet we never really had any cold weather that really tested it out the last couple of years. It's been reasonably warm winters. And this winter, being substantially different, as Mr. Inge mentioned in the beginning, I find out there are shortcomings.
Well, you'll have to check with an attorney on what the statute of limitations is on that.
Hmm.
As far as I know, on new houses, it's 8 years. But
This is a retrofit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the statute is on that.
I see. Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Let's go on here. Next caller is in Covington, Indiana. No, pardon me, that person dropped off. We'll go to Terre Haute. How about that? Well, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I've got a question concerning attic insulation. My daughter's home has blown-in attic insulation, and it doesn't seem to have a vapor barrier with it, and we were thinking of adding some more insulation, and I don't know what type to purchase or what to do.
Well, you wouldn't want to add a vapor barrier in at this point.
Okay.
Actually, the vapor barrier is probably the coat of paint on the ceiling from the inside of the house.
Okay.
But you may need some additional ventilation in the attic.
Okay.
Above the insulation.
Okay. And what type of insulation would you recommend, bat or more of loose blown-in type stuff?
I think you'll get a tighter fit with a blown-in.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. And again, we're taking questions here this morning on home maintenance. We do this program once a month. It's always on a Monday. And our guest this morning is Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's been with us for a long, long time. Then his son, Scott, was doing it for a while. And Scott couldn't be here this morning, so Hank said, yeah, I can do that for you. The same thing as always. Whatever kind of questions you might have can have to do with heating, for example, had to do with frozen pipes. We talked a little bit about that in the beginning. Insulation, anything, in fact, about the single family home, you give us a call, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. The next caller is in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question about, it kind of relates to insulation in the attic. I have bathrooms on the second floor, and they both have ventilating fans, and it's a house built in 1970. I put in a new fan in one of the bathrooms up there. Over the last couple of years, we get a little collection of dark, looks like fibrous dust that settles around on the tub and on the countertop and stuff. And it takes a while. You know, I don't clean it off all the time. Is there a way to find out what that is? Could that possibly be fiberglass dust coming through? Or
I doubt it. But, yes, there are a number of services that provide a service of that type. There is one in Champaign that I know of that will do that kind of analysis and see what it is. There's a good chance that you are getting some backflow through the duct.
Yeah.
And there's an oddball way of almost totally eliminating that, and that is if you, in a horizontal run in the attic, if there is one, you take a joint apart and you take a essentially a plastic bag such as you would get out of the produce department of your grocery store, cut the bottom out so it becomes a sleeve. And you slip the sleeve over one side and then tape down the far end and then put everything back at the bottom and put everything back together. If you get any tendency of warm air blowing backward through it, it will collapse the bag and it won't get through. If you turn the fan on, the bag inflates and the air goes right on through.
Oh, that's sounds like Rube Goldberg to me.
Well, it may sound like a Rube Goldberg. As a matter of fact, that is patented. However, the owner of the patent hadn't been able to sell it, so he told me to tell as many people about it as he can.
Is there a way I can get a detailed explanation of that? I mean, I'm in my car, so I can't write anything down.
Sure. If you'll call us at our number at...
Your Spies number? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the person who could analyze what that stuff is who's that?
Well, there's an outfit in Champaign called Allertech.
Allertech?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much. I was just worried about that because it seems to be only in the bathroom, and the other dust anywhere else is, you know, regular dust.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for the call. You know, I remember, Hank, in the past you talking about this plastic bag kind of solution for that. And I was just sitting here thinking, well, gosh, you should patent that. No, apparently someone actually did patent it, but he couldn't turn that into a moneymaker?
Right. Yes, a friend of mine has the patent on that, and he has been unable to sell it to any of the ventilation people. So he said, tell people about it. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, we'll go on here. The next caller up is in Covington, Indiana. Line 4, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling with a question about the solution for a deck that is above a sunroom on a second floor. I've talked to a number of people and gotten different ideas about solutions, one being to put down rubber matting, and I'm going to have to replace some wooden railing to be aluminum type railing. I've also gotten a solution that involves having a deck put down on top of like a rubber roof, and I'm just wondering who's right in terms of a solution for what needs to be done.
Well, any of those things can work. Putting a membrane over a wood deck, if you get any leaks, you're going to rot out the wood deck. That's basically what it boils down to. But, yes, you can get any. There are several manufacturers of decking material that provide a water barrier, and they will work. You have to be sure that you have drainage out the far end, over the edge, and is there a deck, a roof over a deck at all?
No, there's no roof over the deck, but the deck is sitting on top of a sunroom.
Yeah. Okay, well, what is the problem then? Is it leaking?
Yes, it's an old, like a historic home, and the room was probably built in the 1800s, the sunroom, and it has this plaster that has, well, it's ornate type plaster, and there are leaks coming through the plaster.
Okay.
And the original, the deck that is on top is not the current type deck. I mean, it's a porch that you can walk out on from the second floor of the house.
It's a wood deck, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you probably will have to put down a new layer of waterproofing material and then a wear layer to keep you from scuffing it up.
Okay, so it has tar paper, in other words, right now on that top that is, you know, the shingle material.
Yeah.
Is going, and people are saying put down, like you said, I guess the waterproof layer and then a layer that you can walk on.
Right. That's about the only way, and the major problem that occurs with that is where it flashes into the siding of the second floor.
Yeah.
Very often that is where the leak will occur first.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you for the call. We have a couple of other people here. Someone just after someone heard you give the plastic bag in the bathroom vent explanation, and someone called and said, would you please ask Hank to explain that once again? So do that. Tell us again about the plastic bag in the bathroom vent.
Okay, if you have a horizontal run in the attic or whatever, you take apart a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your plastic bag, cut the bottom off of it so it's now a plastic tube, slip that over the fan side of that, and then put it into the remaining one and use a piece of tape to hold the bottom of that plastic bag down at the far end. That way, if we get any air going backwards, it tends to collapse the plastic bag, and it seals pretty tightly that way. And we want to tape down at the bottom so that the whole thing doesn't blow back and block the duct itself. But it's a little difficult without being able to draw something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the way it works. And the plastic bag, you know, you get the thin plastic bag such as you get in the produce department of your grocery store, and that's pretty flexible, and it just blows shut. And the tube should be at least three times as long as the diameter of the duct.
Okay. And how long now those, I guess the only thing I'm thinking about is that the plastic, that's not very heavyweight plastic that they make those bags out of. How long is that good for? Do you appear out, you know, every few years, are you going to have to put a new bag in there?
Well, it should be pretty good. There's no sunlight hits it, and that's the real nemesis of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably at least 5 years.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. 5 years, and for the cost involved, it's quite good.
Yeah, it's only your labor.
That's right. All right, we'll go on here next. Let's talk with someone in Urbana, line number two.
Good morning.
Yes,
I have a question regarding cleaning of ducts. We live in a home that was built in 1940 for stair heat, of course. I don't believe the ducts have ever been cleaned. And people tell me, oh, you should have your ducts cleaned. We don't have heavy dust, just like the usual dust bunnies at the end of a week or 10 days. And I'm just wondering if you have an opinion on whether one should clean their ducts or not, or if there are some indications that would lead you to know that you have to clean your ducts.
Well, basically, the indications would be if you are having a dust problem or something or other, then you would seriously consider it. I assume that your supply ducts are in the floor someplace?
Yes.
Well, okay, probably there's been some dirt accumulated there. There is actually a little federal publication on should I have my ducts cleaned.
Oh, okay.
And, again, if you will call us, I will dig it out and give you a place to order it from.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Alrighty.
That I can do for you.
Thank you so much.
All right, very good. Thank you. We are just about at a midpoint here. Just a quick introduction again. Hank Spies is our guest from the Spies Home Inspection Service. We have been doing this program for a long time, always on a Monday, to invite you to call in, ask questions about home maintenance. Hank did the show with us for a long time. Then his son Scott took over, and we were expecting Scott this morning, and something happened, and he wasn't able to be here. But Scott called in and said, look, I can do that for you, and we appreciate that. And he's with us on the phone. Same show as always. If you have questions, you can give us a call, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. And our next caller is in Champaign and on line 3. Hello. So caller there, line 3, Champaign. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, let's try Moultrie County then on line number 1. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I've got an old home that has built-in gutters, and I'm 75, and I have no idea if those gutters have ever been touched. They are, as far as I know, not copper. Is it even economically feasible to get them replaced?
Yes. The question is, do you have any leaks in your soffits due to the leaks in gutters?
Well, we have water that's coming down through a couple places in the walls, and that's the reason I'm suspicious.
Okay, then yes, by all means, I would replace the gutters.
Do you know, are there reputable contractors in Champaign that do that sort of thing?
I have a couple, yeah. Again, if you'll call the our office number, I can refer you to somebody.
Okay, the house is 30 by 36. Is there any, you got any clue about what it might cost?
No, that varies considerably with what's involved. I'd have to be seeing the detail as to how your gutters are in there at the moment.
Okay, all right. Well, I can call your, then I can call your office then sometime.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, if you have questions for our guest, Hank Spies, you can call right here, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let's just, again, do the basic maintenance, or at least what homeowners can be doing for their heating systems, just to make sure that they're operating correctly. And I don't know, aside from making sure that you change your filters, that I'm sure that would be the first thing up. What, and is there anything else that you would suggest people think about?
Well, basically, we want to be sure that we're venting properly and that the heat exchanger in the furnace doesn't have any cracks or holes in it. If you have the required carbon monoxide detectors in your house, if there's a hole in the heat exchanger, that will probably go off. So if you have an older house and you don't have a carbon monoxide detectors, there is a state law requiring them.
Mm-hmm.
So they will, and you can buy them in any of the home stores and install them yourself. They're battery powered.
And they're like either they're like smoke detectors in that you can get ones that you just hang on the wall that have a battery. You can also get some that plug into the wall and use the regular current that way.
Yeah, I think so. Well, generally speaking, most of them are battery powered, but on new construction, we would wire them in.
Yeah. This is, you know, several years back now, I got one, I was a little, when I got it, I was a little maybe confused or maybe a little bit uncertain about where the best place in the house was to put it. Because, for example, they said, well, don't put it in the kitchen, because I guess they're thinking that if you have a gas stove, that it's possible that might set it off.
Generally speaking, you should have one within 15 feet of any bedroom door.
Okay, so you want to put it on near where it is that you're sleeping.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where you spend the most time. And if you have a low level of carbon monoxide, that can be very unhelpful if you're exposed to it for a long period of time, even mm-hmm. though it won't kill you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, they were generally thinking on new construction, we want to put one in every bedroom, and every level of the house, every stairwell, this type of thing that would pick it up.
All right. Well, we got some other callers here where we are, one in Champaign, one in Urbana. So the first person in line is in Champaign, and that would be line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Recently, I don't know where, I've heard something in the media about radon gas. So would, please review what, if anything, anyone around here should be concerned about radon gas, and just give us the overview of whether or not it's really worth testing for or not, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Well, radon is a gas that is part of a decomposition of granite rock. So this means it's been in the ground for centuries. It is a radioactive gas. And depending upon the concentration, it can be significantly unhelpful. However, at low levels, it's not. Now, generally speaking, the EPA in the United States has suggested that the level of concern is supposed to be 2 picocuries per liter. In Canada, it was 20. Now, I think the 2 is kind of a little low. Generally speaking, in Champaign, I've never found it higher than about 12. And I don't really get too concerned about this. Now, I might in a nursing home where the occupants of the room never went outside, they breathe this continuously and so on. Otherwise, we have to collect it and vent it outside somewhere. The reason this came to attention some years back was the fact that at one of the nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania, they had a worker who tripped the radiation alarm when he came to work instead of when he left for work. So they decided to try and find out why, and they found that in that particular area, geologically it's called the Redding Prong, from Redding, Pennsylvania, up through into New Jersey, the radon level has been running about 300 picocuries per liter. There is a small area in the Minnesota-North Dakota border where it can go as high as 400. Well, I get concerned anytime I see numbers over more than, say, 12 or something like that. I'm not quite as concerned as the EPA is. They, of course, have to cover their posterior at all costs. And in Champaign, I've not run into any high radon readings, with one exception. Now, we get high radon readings in Danville. We get them in Mahomet. And the one that I hit high in Champaign was where someone had brought in 2 truckloads of gravel from Mahomet to serve as a heat sink for a solar collector. And, of course, decomposition of gravel, gravel continued and produced the radon, and we did get a reading up about 20 on that particular house. But generally speaking, the highest reading I know of in the state of Illinois has been a 67. So we don't have quite the problem that they have over on the East Coast. But, yes, it is a good idea to check. particularly if you were in Mahomet or Danville, in that area. The detectors are available at any of the home center stores. You expose them for a week or so and then mail them in and they check them. Do not trust any radon check that is in place for less than a week, because the radon level varies with barometric pressure. Being a gas in the soil, if the pressure is high, the gas doesn't come out. When the pressure is low, it does. So you will get higher readings when we have a low-pressure weather system and lower readings when we have a high-pressure system. So it is a good idea to check if you haven't. As I say, in Champaign, I've not run into a problem. We certainly have in a number of cases in Mahomet and Danville.
All right. Well, I hope that that helps. Further questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello, this is Mike. I have a question about the condensate drain on my furnace or forced air conditioner. The outside of my house, I've just had significant work done to place drain tile around the house. At the recent rain and thaw that we've had, I have two locations around the exterior of my house that I'm still getting drainage toward the house or down into the crawl space. One of those locations is where the condensate drain exits the house, so I can't raise the level of the ground to get better drainage away from the house without covering up that drain location. Right where it leaves the house, there is a connection to the main sewage pipe for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Can I connect my condensate drain to that location since there seems to be a trap built into the drain system?
Yes.
Simple enough answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
We wonder if you were getting everything out of the condensate drain or if you have a leak at that connection.
The drain is obviously outside water coming back in. You can see it running down the block during the rainstorm.
Okay. Well, in that case, you need extensions on your gutters or something or other, and hopefully some regrading.
It's the regrading. I need to. It's between the air conditioner outside and the house. The ground is low there for that condensate drain, and I couldn't raise it up high enough because of the condensate drain.
Yeah.
But I'll cut it off, reroute it, and raise the ground.
Well, the other alternative is to pick it up and put a sump pump in and pump it out.
There is a sump pump. It just happens to be easier to hook right onto that drain pipe right there.
Okay. Well, as I say, I would probably be tempted to hook it to a sump pump, but whatever.
Okay. There's a sump line there I can try and grab too.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll go to Charleston next for another car on our toll-free line, number four. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I are thinking about getting a new furnace, and we live in a 100-year-old Victorian in Charleston. We purchased our last one in 1991, and we put one in the basement for the first floor and one in the attic for the second floor. And we're just getting tired of the noise, plus it costs a lot, and it seems like when it's really cold, it just doesn't heat the house. So we heard of a two-stage furnace that's not supposed to be 95% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And wondered, you know, the price is really quite significantly different from just your basic unit to something like that. Do you think that that's worth it?
Well, you probably will get your money back within 7 to 10 years.
Ah, and how long are they?
They should be good for a minimum of 20.
A minimum of 20. Okay. And do you think, does it matter? We're definitely one of them for the second floor, because that's where all of our bedrooms are. The first floor doesn't bother us quite as much, but do you think that it would be, if we're doing it, just go for it, since we're going to get our money back anyway in 7 to 10 years and get both units with the two-step?
Well, generally speaking, we're stricking here without, now it's just heating, or you have air conditioning as well?
We have air conditioning as well.
Okay. Now, you see, your air conditioning unit in the attic is going to be most important because cold air falls.
Mm-hmm.
So it will does half the heating on the first floor, or half of the cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Your downstairs unit will do more of the heating for upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that you really want to try for the high-efficiency units. They do pay for themselves, and we're conserving the resources involved.
True. Okay, I just had a real quick question about that also. In our attic right now, I went up just like a couple days ago, and it seemed warm, and I found a vent, because we generally just close off the vents. I found a vent that the air was just rushing into the room, and then I had another vent that it was clearly closed off. And my husband said that that one of our electrical workers had said it's really good to keep the attic warm. It's a full attic, and to keep the temperature up there, so to have the heat going. But my concern is that heat's not coming into the second floor then.
No, I don't think you don't need to heat the attic. I don't know how much insulation you have in the floor of the attic between the attic and the second floor.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have any.
Well, you definitely should have.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be make a major difference.
Okay.
Is insulating that. But no, I don't think you need to heat the attic.
Great. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And we'll go on. And the next person is someone who's listening to us on the Internet on our line number one. Hello.
Hi. Can you tell me, and I apologize, I'm tuning in late, what the maximum setback is at night for a furnace in terms of, you know, reheating in the morning? I actually know someone who lives in a slightly more moderate climate than Champaign, Illinois, that turns their furnace off at night, and it'll be as low as 50 in the morning in the house, and then they turn it back up again. What's the current thinking on setback?
Well, when we were doing research on that at the University Department of Mechanical Engineering, it was generally figured out about the maximum setback should be 10 degrees.
10 degrees maximum.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you go over that, you're just wasting
It's taking too much time and overloading when you heating it back up when you set it back up again.
Okay. Also, another quick plumbing question. I know someone else who was told that with the old galvanized pipe, that an outside faucet that has been in the house since it was built in 1935 does not have a cutoff for wintertime. And a plumber told them, it hasn't had a problem for this many years. It probably won't. The galvanized doesn't tend to freeze as quickly as copper. Do you think it's necessary to put an outdoor shutoff on something like that to avoid a catastrophe?
Well, you don't put the shutoff outdoors. You put it in
right.
the basement or crawl space or whatever.
Right.
But it's a very good idea. Galvanized pipe doesn't corrode as fast as copper, generally speaking. We don't have that kind of a problem. The main problem we run into with galvanized pipe is when somebody connects a copper pipe to it. And this generates a small amount of electricity, which can cause corrosion.
Okay.
So, there is a special connector that is used when you dielectric union when you connect copper to galvanized to keep this from happening. If somebody has made that connection without the dielectric union, then it will corrode fairly soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Again, thank you. And next we'll talk with someone in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hi. Hank, we had a new roof put on our house about a year and a half ago, and since then we've noticed that the rain drains between the roof and the gutter and licks back across the eaves towards the house. I'm not sure if they put an aluminum strip underneath the starter strip, and I'm not sure if that is lifting up the starter strip and allowing that licking back. And I know that a new roof would be a little cost prohibitive, and I'm wondering if you might think that a gutter helmet could help that problem.
Well, it's a flashing problem at the end. The gutter helmet is to keep leaves out.
Now, but that would go underneath the starter strip and give a line towards the middle of the gutter instead of letting that water drip back.
Well, basically, the gutter helmet, there are multiple brands of these things, but that particular brand brings it all the way out to the front of the gutter. But, yes, nearly all of these things have a flashing that goes under the starter row and should bring everything out far enough to keep that from happening.
Okay. Yeah, I believe what they did was I think they put the starter strip in with the adhesive side towards the peak of the house rather than along the edge by the gutter. And so that's creating some problems. And I was looking for a less expensive solution than having a new roof put on. So.
Well, no, and you shouldn't need a new roof on. You may need the edge reflashed, but you
okay.
shouldn't need a new roof.
Very good. Thank
All
you.
Right, thank you. We're talking this morning with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. Once a month we do these shows to give you a chance to call and ask questions about home maintenance. And all you need to do is pick up the telephone and dial the number 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Charleston. Line number 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
In the bathroom of my 15-year-old home, there is a small gap, maybe a 16th of an inch, between the vinyl flooring and the fiberglass shower stall. A small area of that flooring, around 8 or 9 square inches, appears discolored from beneath, and I'm assuming it's because some water may have dripped down when the door was opened. It hasn't grown in size. It's been there for some years. I don't know why the sealant was never placed along that seam, and I would like to put a bead of adhesive caulking along that gap now. Is there any reason why I should not do that?
No, I think it's a perfectly logical thing to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, thank you. On to another caller here. This is Urbana, line 1. Hello.
Good morning and happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody. And Hank, it's nice to hear your voice again. You sound like you're in good health, and I appreciate it. Could you run by the question of the leaky heat exchanger and the carbon monoxide alarm? This sounds like an important public health issue. Just what is a heat exchanger? Can you break it down in the ABCs? And how serious would a leak in that be as far as carbon monoxide compared to the carbon monoxide those of us who don't drive have to breathe from everybody else's stupid automobiles? Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, well, you'll get a lot more carbon monoxide out of a bad heat exchanger than you probably will driving down the highway. So, basically, the heat exchanger is, the way the furnace is built is there is a chamber in which the fire actually burns, and surrounding that chamber is a metal cover, and then we are blowing the house air past this metal cover so that we are transferring the heat to the house air. If there is a crack there, it is quite possible that some of the combustion gases will come back into the house air stream. And this can be very dangerous. So this is why we put in the carbon monoxide detector that they're required by state law, actually, and even they're required to be retrofitted. So it's very essential that we have a monoxide detector, and your furnace probably ought to be checked every couple of years to make sure that the heat exchanger is still in good condition.
This was one of the things that, maybe I should have asked this question earlier, that even if you think that your furnace is operating properly, you don't have any indication that there's any problem, how often would you recommend that it just have a routine inspection?
Every couple of years at least.
Uh-huh. All right. Next caller is New Lenox on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I have a furnace question.
Sure.
My supply and return ducts are in the basement. Basement's running around 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The ducts are not insulated. It's a high-efficiency furnace, so the supply is running lower than the inefficient ones, about 90 degrees Fahrenheit coming out. On the furnace thermostat, there's an option to use automatic, a run, or recirculate. And I was wondering, what is the setting you put it on for most economic operation?
I would put it on the automatic.
Okay.
Now, the other thing you can do is if your basement is warmer than it needs to be, you can insulate some of the ductwork down there.
Uh-huh.
It depends on how much time you spend in your basement and what you're doing down there.
Now, 50 degrees is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You don't want to spend too much time down there.
Yeah. I would attempt to put it on automatic.
Automatic. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. We'll go on to Bloomington, Illinois. This is line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Got a question about a ceiling stain in my kitchen. There was a stain about a foot in diameter when we moved into this house several years ago. We had it repaired, replaced a section of it. Now we have a probably three times that size spot up there, and it has caused one of the joints to open up, and we're getting an occasional drip, very small amounts, and it seemed to be related to temperature changes.
Yeah, you're getting some condensation in the duct that's dripping back through the fan.
Well, that's the problem. It's giving me problems. There's no fan in the area. There is no water pipe in the area. The only thing that seems to be there was a couple of eaves vents that were put in at the time that we tripled the amount of insulation in the attic. I'm suspecting that it must be condensation coming from the furnace vent, which is immediately below.
Well, condensation isn't going to, generally speaking, it isn't going to go up. I'm wondering what kind of leakage you might have from the attic that is coming down.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out as well. But I don't have any good theories left.
Well, in very cold weather, you stick your head in the attic and see, is there any frost on the bottom of the roof sheathing?
Okay. And then you have to diagnose where the heck that's coming.
Where the moisture is coming from, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have been in attics when the sun hit the roof, it rained.
And how did you cure that?
A matter of ventilation.
So you put a power fan in the end of the gable or something?
It doesn't necessarily have to be powered, as long as there's a vent there, or a continuous ridge vent.
Well, we already have that. We replaced the roof several years ago.
And they put in a continuous ridge vent?
Yeah, it does have that already.
Okay. Without examining what's going on, I'm not sure I can diagnose exactly where this water is coming from.
Yeah, well, would you start out by having a home inspector, or would you start out with a carpenter looking for this?
I'd probably start out with a home inspector.
I see. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We have maybe about 3-4 minutes left. If someone wants to call real quick, we can get you in the time that remains. Hank Spies is with us this morning from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's a program we do every month here on the show. It's always on a Monday to give you the chance to ask these kind of questions. So, again, if somebody wants to get in here real quick, we can probably get one caller in, maybe two. The number here in Champaign-Urbana is 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that's 800-222-9455. And let's go back here to our line number one. I believe this is someone in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Very quickly, you said that you should get your furnace checked at least once every 2 years. What about the air conditioner and the Freon in the air conditioner? Once every 2 years or every year? Thank you.
Generally speaking, you shouldn't need it. You check to see whether you're getting the cooling. If your Freon is low, the unit will not be cooling properly. So we should be, if you put a temperature thermometer at the return and one at an outlet, when it's cooling, there should be about 10 to 15 degrees temperature drop through the unit. If you're getting less than 10 degree drop, then you probably have a problem.
Okay, so again, that's just really, you need a thermometer, you need something that will take a reading. So you take a reading at the place where the cold air comes out, and then take a reading at the place where the cold air is getting,
the return, and
the difference between the two is?
Yeah, you should get 10 to 12 degrees, something like that. If you're getting less than that, less than 10 degrees, you probably have a problem of some variety.
Okay. And then there, other than making sure you want to, your the outside unit is clean and there's nothing blocking the unit, that's there's probably not that much else in the way of home maintenance that an individual
can do. Right. Basically, and it's amazing how much crud we find in outside units at times.
And what do you recommend for cleaning those? That's something that you can do yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah. Good stiff brush usually does the job.
Something else I think, you know, over time people have asked questions about, well, should that outdoor unit in the wintertime when I'm not running it, should I cover it?
Generally speaking, not necessarily. As long as you have a unit that is just running a Freon pipe into the house, if you have ductwork going out to it, then yes. But otherwise, generally speaking, no. As long as we want to keep the crud from accumulating in it, but if it gets covered with snow or something like that, it doesn't hurt anything.
Okay. And one other thing, what you don't, and I don't know how likely it is something like this would happen, but certainly what you don't want is when it's cold like this outside, you don't want that unit turning on.
Generally speaking, the units are not designed to operate when it's below 50 outside.
So would you recommend that power to the air conditioning unit, that external unit there actually in the wintertime, be turned off?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, we got maybe about 30 seconds or so left. Any last sort of tips or bit of advice you'd like to leave with folks?
No, not particularly. We've covered an awful lot of the things that we ought to be concerned with, mainly so that we are maintaining the ventilation system the way it's supposed to be so that we can control the condensation.
Okay. Well, Hank, I really appreciate you stepping in here and being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's our pleasure.
All right. So that's Hank Spies. He is a home inspector with the Spies Home Inspection Service. And he and his son, Scott, have been doing this program with us many years, so we can bring you this regular monthly opportunity to ask these kinds of questions. We do the show once every month, and it's always on a Monday.